Amen. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verse 25, as we begin here seeing the beginning of Paul's ministry. As Paul is called of God, and you remember that Paul was, whose name was Saul, was persecuting the church. He was a religious leader of the Jews and was persecuting the church and breathed out threatenings and was killing Christians. I mean, he consented to the stoning of Stephen. And then in chapter 9 in Acts, we have Saul meeting the Lord on the road to Damascus. The Lord appears unto him, and Saul gets saved, and his life changes, and Saul becomes Paul. And here we have Barnabas, who was called out of the church of Antioch, and going to seek out Paul. It says there in verse 25, Acts 11 and verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. And when verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. I preached this message or something similar to this the last few years on HCA Sunday. I think it's very important we understand what a Christian is, and that our students understand what a Christian is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. We pray, God, again, that we would just see you afresh and new this morning. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. They were called Christians first at Antioch. So we see here the beginning of Paul's ministry. And if we were to go to Acts 26, which we will not, as Paul appeals to Caesar to go to Rome and appeal for his life there, that on his way, they stopped there at Caesarea, there on the coast of Israel, and there he appeared before Felix. And he appeared before Felix, gave testimony and so forth, and then King Agrippa came by. And King Agrippa heard about Paul and said, "Hey, I'd like to hear from this man." And in Acts chapter 25 and 26, you have Paul standing before King Agrippa there at Caesarea. They're out there by the Mediterranean Sea. I've been there. And there he appeals to Agrippa and he preaches to him and gives him his testimony. And at the very end, King Agrippa says to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." As we, over the years, have preached that verse, we most of the time emphasize almost, that he almost got saved. But I also want to emphasize to you, as per our sermon this morning, a topical message on the subject of the word Christian, is I want to point out that from the time you have from Acts chapter 11, where Paul's entering the ministry, and it says they were called Christians first at Antioch, 20 or 30 years later, King Agrippa's even calling them Christians. Everybody see that? So, again, 30 years later, you have King Agrippa calling them Christians. So, that would have me to assume that that terminology was being used around the area and throughout the nation of Israel. These Christians. Who are these Christians? King Agrippa said, "I would like to hear the matter." And King Agrippa there hears Paul's testimony, "And almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." It's a sad, sad commentary for King Agrippa. Right? Everyone needs to be saved. Everyone needs to become a Christian. And so almost that persuades me to be a Christian. What is a Christian? A Christian, the word means Christ-like. It means one who is an imitator of Jesus. It means a Christ follower, one who follows the Lord Jesus Christ. To be a Christian is to be a follower of Jesus. To be a Christian is to imitate Jesus Christ. So what does it take, or what is it to be a Christian? I think this is pretty simple, but I always want to point this out. To be a Christian, one must be saved. One must be born again. One must know Jesus Christ as his or her Savior. John 3:3, Jesus says, answered and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Can I tell you this morning, except you be born again, you'll never see heaven. Unless you come to Jesus, acknowledging your sin, acknowledging that your sin put him on the cross, recognizing your sin. By the way, we're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us have measured up to the holiness of God. For all have sinned. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. But The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can escape hell and have a home in heaven. We can have our sins forgiven through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We just celebrated that last Sunday on Easter Sunday, but we are to celebrate it every Sunday. Jesus Christ rose from the dead in order that I might have salvation. Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again in order that my sins might be forgiven, and that my debt, my sin debt, might be forgiven, and that I might escape hell and have a home in heaven. The greatest decision you will ever make is to become a child of God. The greatest decision you'll ever make is to be saved. The greatest decision you'll ever make is to become a Christian. A Christian is one who is saved, born again. I'm so thankful that when I got saved, I received the Holy Spirit who enables me and empowers me. I'm thankful that I was given victory, not only over the penalty of sin. Understand that. When I got saved, I was given victory over the penalty of sin. I'm no longer in danger of the wrath of God. I'm no longer in danger of hell. I've been given victory over the penalty of my sin. But I've also been given power over my sin. Romans chapter 6 makes that very clear. I don't have to give into my sinful flesh anymore. I can have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only have I been given victory over the penalty of sin, but through salvation, I've been given victory over the power of sin. And can I just reemphasize this morning, as a Christian, you can have victory in your life over those sins that are there. And through the Lord Jesus Christ and through His Holy Spirit, He empowers us to live the Christian life. Every day, as HCA approaches these children and these young people, we endeavor to make sure they know Jesus Christ as their Savior. As Heritage Baptist Church, we endeavor that every ministry be occupied with leading others to Jesus Christ, and that we fulfill the Great Commission. Every Christian. A Christian is one who reads the Bible and believes the Bible to be the roadmap for life. This is my guide for my life. I can go down to the bookstore if there's any left. I can go online, take my tablet, and view multiple books about life and self-help books and all those things. But this is the greatest book that's ever been written. And this is my guide for life. This is how this Bible tells me how to raise my children. This Bible tells me how to conduct my finances. This Bible tells me how to live. And I'm so thankful for the Bible that I hold in my hand. It's a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I lean not unto thy own understanding, in all the ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. I'm thankful for the Bible. And Christians, as Christians, we ought to be Bible readers. By the way, the first primers, the first text books in the United States were Bible-based. Several groups have republished and reproduced those first primers, and it's amazing how much Bible is in them. In fact, it's mostly Bible. The illustrations are Bible. And so our country was founded upon, again, those Judeo-Christian ethics and Judeo-Christian principles. The early settlers learned to read from the Bible. It's an amazing how far we've come. And I don't want to be... Two rules I have is I don't want to take the pulpit and major on one ministry every Sunday like we would if we're not careful with HCA. But also I don't want to take every Sunday and dwell on politics, because that is my soapbox and I could do that every Sunday. But can I tell you, it's amazing to me how far America's come in education, and that we've gotten so far away from the founding fathers' ideal of what public education should look like. And I just want to encourage you this morning. I'm so thankful for Heritage Christian Academy, where we can teach the Bible, where we can teach the Bible, we can teach the principles of the Bible every day. And that's what public school used to do until it was shoved out by secularism, humanism. All right? I won't dwell on that too much this morning, but it's good to be remembered. And I'm so thankful for a school that we can teach the Bible. All subjects teach the Bible. Heritage Christian Academy and its foundation is the Bible. I appreciate Brother Nick saying a while ago, it doesn't give an excuse for low academics. We believe in high academics. But we also believe the Bible is the foundation to those academics. To those academics. A Christian is one who tells others of Jesus. A Christian is one who's not ashamed of the Lord Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said. It's a power within me. Listen, we ought to tell others of Jesus, and we endeavor at Heritage Christian Academy to teach our young people how to tell others of their faith. How to tell others of their faith. We endeavor here at Heritage Baptist Church to teach our congregation and our membership how to tell others of their faith. Listen, if you are a Christian this morning, a genuine Christian, if you're a Christ follower, if you're an imitator of Christ, you will not be able to help yourself. You're going to tell somebody about Jesus. You're going to tell somebody about the one you love. Amen? You know, you get excited about a particular sports team, you'll tell others about it and talk to others about it. Hello? Well, to love the Lord Jesus enough to tell others about Him. I mean, souls are at stake. Amen? And we need to tell others of Jesus, and we endeavor again to teach others how to share their faith. A Christian is one who has a love and a fear for God. Job said this in Job 28, "The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from it is evil in its understanding." Listen, we need to have a love for God. As Christians, we have a love for the Father. By the way, Jesus had a love for the Father, and He obeyed the Father. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." We show our love for the Father. We show our love for Jesus by keeping His commandments. Right? Our children prove their love to us by doing what we say. I'll smile at this area. We prove our love by what we do. Now, we should say it as well. I'm thankful I was raised in a home where my mom and dad told me they loved me. And that ought to be a part of every day as you raise your kids. But you ought to prove it as well by what you do. Listen, we ought to love the Lord Jesus and we ought to tell Him every day. But we ought to prove it by what we do, not just by what we say. It's not about a Sunday religion or a Wednesday night religion. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ every day. I'm so thankful Jesus Christ loves me unconditionally. I'm so thankful. A Christian is one who loves the Lord and fears the Lord. Can I remind you this morning that our purpose in life is to glorify God? Young people, your purpose in life is to glorify God. Your purpose in life is not to bounce a ball. Your purpose in life is not to reach some academic level of so forth. Your purpose is to glorify God. And maybe that is reaching an academic level. Maybe that is bouncing a ball. But primarily, understand that everything should proceed out of glorifying God. Glorifying God in our lives. Adults, our purpose in life is to glorify Him. Every day. And whatever you say or do, that we should glorify Him in our bodies. That others may see Him in us. I'm thankful that Heritage Christian Academy, we can still teach the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Jesus taught this when He said, He summarized the entire Old Testament law when He said, "Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even also to them, for this is all the law and the prophets." Matthew 7:12. It's the golden rule. Can you imagine if everyone followed the golden rule, the difference in our society? I know I've told you this 100 times, but in my 8th grade science class, on the back wall, old metal building, on the back wall, the golden rule was there. I'm sure it's not there today. The golden rule. We need to teach our children to obey the Lord. We need to teach our children obedience to the Lord. We need to teach our children patriotism. I'm thankful for a school that can stand up and do the pledges every morning. I'm so thankful there's a class in the school that can stand up and teach about honoring our forefathers. I'm thankful that there's still a school that can teach about American exceptionalism. Pastor, do you believe that America is the greatest country that has ever been? Absolutely, I believe that. Do I believe that America is the greatest country on earth? Absolutely. Or preacher, that's just, you know, globalism and blah, 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 blah. Whatever. And these liberal... Whew. You want to say that America's never been good? That's the popular expression now on the far left. America's never been good. Hold on. Let me take my coat off. We'll spend a little time talking about America and its founding and how America has done more for the world than any other nation has ever done. And America's done more for each other, for other ethnic groups, for giving everyone opportunity to excel and to achieve. I did not say America's perfect. But I'm thankful that we live in a country that has corrected itself as time has gone on. And now we want to go back and tear down and rewrite. Well, I tell you what, we need to be careful. Amen. We need to be careful. Greatest country that has ever been. Greatest opportunity that has ever been. We need to be careful. Let me just while I'm here, take my coat off and say, socialism is communism. You want to destroy America? Implement socialism. It is communism. The Bible doesn't teach communism. The Bible doesn't teach socialism. The Bible teaches individual responsibility. And I'm thankful we have a school where we can teach individual responsibility. There, I will move on. A Christian is one who imitates Christ. By the way, a Christian is one who is kind and gracious, by the way. And when we are on those subjects, let us be reminded that we should be kind and gracious. The far right, too, many times. The far right, as well, many times. Too angry and too unbelievable. We can be kind. We can disagree without being disagreeable. You can be kind. By the way, the Proverbs tells us with contention is pride. And when we're contentious, that's pride. And so you got to find that middle ground. I'm good. I'm going to get off of it in just a second. But I always want to clarify. There's some to the right, far right, that are just way out there in cuckoo land as well. And I meant that. I called them a name. It's all right. I didn't call them cuckoo. I said they're in cuckoo land. I guess if you're in cuckoo land, maybe you're a citizen of cuckoo that it makes you? I don't know. You guys got to stop because we have time. I want to go to lunch. Go home and read my Fox News app. Here we go. A Christian is one who strives to live a Christian life. Jesus said himself, he said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And in order to be an imitator of Jesus Christ is to follow in his steps. The follow in his steps. That, by the way, it's a great book if you haven't read it. Follow in his steps. Can we just follow in Jesus' steps? It really isn't about a set of rules. Listen, religion means a set of rules. It means here's what you do. Here's a set of rules. No, Christianity is not a set of rules. Christianity is Christ. That we live after the pattern that Jesus Christ set for us. That we love others as we would want to be loved, as we do for others as we would want done to us, as we are kind and gracious, if we exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, may we follow in the steps of Jesus. May we be kind to our neighbor, whom we may disagree with, who may be immoral and politically to the whatever and whatever, but we could be kind to our neighbor. Neighbor has to go to the hospital and, you know, wife and husband taking care of each other. And you look out and you see the yard's not done. It'd be good just to go out and mow the yard for them. Just be kind. Be kind. Be gracious. Follow in the steps. A Christian is one who strives to be selfless and to serve others, to minister to others. That it's not about what I need or what my thoughts are. It's not about me. It's not about me. Can I tell you, we live in a society that's all about themselves. The me generation has just continued. Can we say, just be reminded, it's not about me. It's all about him and living for him and glorifying him and living a selfless life. Well, if I take care of everybody else, who's going to take care of me, preacher? The Lord will. He said, "I will supply all your needs." He said, "Look not everyone on the needs of himself, but on the needs of others." Paul said, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for their own state, but all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. Notice the comparison. He said, all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. May we seek to live a life pleasing to Jesus by living a selfless life. We ought to be a light to our community. We seek at Heritage Christian Academy to teach our kids and our young people to be a light. Ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Lastly, a Christian is one who gives his or herself to the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, I yield to you. Say, I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. And therefore, I'm to glorify God in my body. Again, this is not mine. I'm here to be a light to others. I'm here to show forth Jesus Christ. I've been left here to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. What a great responsibility, what an honor it is to be an ambassador and to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And may we fulfill that office, and may we show to others Jesus in us. I think over and over again about Paul, who once consented to the stoning of Stephen. He held the coats of those who killed that deacon, Stephen. And just a few years later, he was preaching the gospel. He was a great testimony for the Lord. And people started calling Christ followers Christians. And kind of stuck. 20 or 30 years later, they were still calling them Christians, Christ followers. Are you a Christian this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Again, the greatest decision you'll ever make is to accept Christ as your personal Savior. In a minute, we're going to sing a verse. You can come down front and we'll show you here from the Bible how you can have your sins forgiven, how you can have a home in heaven, how you can have eternal life. Christian this morning? You could be saved and not be a Christian. A Christian who's one who is a Christ follower. One who follows and imitates Jesus. Are you imitating him? Are you being kind to your neighbor? Are you being selfless in your life? Are you looking out for others? Or is it all about me? Teenagers, is it all about you? Is it all about you, or is it all about others in your life? See, I'm not here for me. I'm here for others. I'm here to glorify God in my body. And may we as Christians glorify him. Lastly, are you a victorious Christian? I thought about this as I was in my car the other day again. A couple of sayings that I've reiterated over the years. You know, God never intended for life to be endured. He meant for it to be enjoyed. Kids were not meant to be endured. Kids were meant to be enjoyed. And when you in your life as a Christian get to the place where life is not enjoyable, and that means you're living in defeat. And as a Christian, you do not have to live in defeat. As a Christian, you don't have to live in a life that is discouraging and disappointing. You can live a life that is victorious. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave his life for us. And can I tell you, if you'll just come down front, if you'll simply humble before Jesus and cast your cares upon him because he cares for you, he'll give you victory in life. Romans chapter 6 says you do not have to yield your body as an instrument of unrighteousness, that you have already been given victory if you'll simply yield to Jesus Christ. See, you don't have to take the yoke of this world and carry it. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. His yoke is a lot easier than the world's yoke. A lot easier. If you'll just simply yield to him, yield to him. Man, God did not intend for you to live a life in defeat. God meant for you to enjoy life. Jesus said, I came to give life. I'm thankful for eternal life. He said, I came to give life. But he also said, I came to give life more abundantly. He came to give life more abundant. Are you experiencing as a Christian the abundant life? Are you experiencing a life that is fulfilled and fulfilling and a life of contentment? If not, come to Jesus. Ask him. Yield to him and say, Lord, I yield to whatever you want in my life. Lord, I yield to obedience to you. Lord, direct my life. And he'll do it. And he'll give you victory in your life. Let's all stand. Hymn 167, Just As I Am. Say, preacher, that's pie in the sky. How do I have victory? Let me give you just a couple of practical things. Like, takes 2 seconds. Read your Bible, pray every day. You say, well, that gives me victory? No, but it puts you in a place for God to give you victory. Let me say that again. Read your Bible, pray every day. Give to others, be a blessing. Encourage others, do for others. Attend church, do the things you know to do right. You say, well, preacher, would that give me a victorious life? Not necessarily. But it will put you in a position for God to give you a victorious life. For God to do something extraordinary in your life. Just be consistent. Just stay this course. Follow Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord, for your love. And we thank you for your salvation that's found in your Son, Jesus. And I pray this morning if there's someone here who's never accepted you as their personal Savior, Lord, may they do it today. And Lord, the Christians that are gathered here, may we be imitators of your dear Son. May we follow in his steps. May we live a victorious life through the power of the Holy Ghost. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.